Okay, we had a wonderful time of worship this morning and a wonderful time of just digging into the Lord. Let's go even deeper into His Word today. Get your Bibles handy. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we're in what's called the Days of Awe, and it's those 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the High Holy Days, we call them in Judaism. And also, we have a special Shabbat today, Shabbat Shuvah, the Shabbat of Return. We typically have, you know, special Shabbats at different times, different holiday times, but this is a big one. This is Shabbat Shuvah. And it's this time of the year when we should at least stop. Stop for a brief moment, hit the pause button a little bit on life, hit the pause button on the craziness, and examine our lives. Examine our thoughts, our actions. Look at how we've lived our lives this past year and how we want to live our lives moving forward. How are we going to live our lives moving forward? At this time, we traditionally reflect. We repent. We prepare ourselves for what is to come, which is the Day of Atonement, of course, and then beyond that, living our lives for God. But also, you know, we have this parsha, we have this Torah portion as part of the normal cycle, Vayilech. And it's a very short one. And so turn with me to Deuteronomy 31. It's a very short one, one chapter, basically. And in this chapter, in this Torah portion this week, what's going on is Moses is getting ready to die, of course. Joshua is getting ready to take over. And Moses is preparing Joshua to take over this leadership role. So he's preparing Joshua. But he's also preparing the nation. He's preparing Israel. He's preparing them to live without him. This is the leader they've only known for 40 years. He was the one that led them. He was the one that put up with them. Let's face it. He was the one that walked with them and led them by the leadership ultimately of God. And they're going to be without him. Now, even though Joshua was a capable leader, Moses was all they knew. So they had to prepare themselves to live without Moses. And also, Moses was preparing them to live in the land of promise that they had waited for all those years. So what's the correlation between Shabbat Shuvah, the days of awe, where we are now in a reflective time, and this parsha? Well, I think that there are some correlations. In both the days of awe, this time of the year, and also this portion, in both of these cases, we're reminded that God is with us. This is a time of year that we are reminded constantly through the liturgy and the discussions that God is with us. We're also reminded that God has given us something very, very important in our lives, which is His Word, the Bible, the Torah, His instructions. He's given us everything we need to walk out our lives with Him. So we have Him, we have His Word, but it's up to us to make the right decisions, to have the right thoughts and actions this coming year. We have that opportunity, we'll call it an opportunity, to choose the right things. You know, I love it when everything kind of coincides. We sang about it, you know, choosing this day who you're going to serve, and we need to live it. It's fun to sing it, but you got to live it out, right? So we need to make those right choices in our lives. We need to follow God at this time. But ultimately, it's a decision that each and every one of us must make. You can't make it for your kids, much as you want to. You can't make it for your friends. Only you can make it for yourself. So this is the time of year that we can make that choice for God and put Him at the center of our lives. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 31, verse 3. We're going to start off this morning. The text, of course, is Deuteronomy 31. I'll be kind of going through most of the chapter, kind of surveying most of the chapter this morning. Moses is preparing the people to go into Israel, and this is what he says, verse 3. The Lord your God Himself will go over before you. He will destroy those nations, these nations before you, so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. Now Moses was encouraging the people here. He had to encourage them because he was no longer going to be with them soon. He was encouraging them because God had taken them this far. With, you know, Moses was there, of course. But ultimately, whether it was Moses or Joshua or anybody else, God was there with them. God had walked them through the desert for 40 years. God was in the midst of them in Egypt. You know, it says and Jewish understanding that when our people went into exile, in the most dark times of our life as a nation, God was with us. His presence was still with Israel. And his presence was with Israel in Egypt. His presence was with Israel in the wilderness. And Moses was encouraging them, but God was encouraging them that God had taken them this far. He brought them out of slavery. He walked them through a desert, a barren wilderness for 40 years. Now, in that wilderness for 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out, right? They were fed. They never lacked for food. They weren't going hungry. They had water pouring out of a rock. They had quail dropping down from the sky. They had this manna substance coming down and feeding them for 40 years. God was with them and he was taking care of them. And then turn with me to verse 6. This is what God says through Moses. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. That is the giants in the land, the peoples they were going to encounter. For it is the Lord who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Now, we've heard those words before, right? Those words are repeated a lot in Scripture. But did you know in this brief Torah portion, this one chapter, Deuteronomy 31, those words, be strong and courageous, are said right here in verse 6, but they're repeated two more times in the whole chapter. They're repeated in verse 8 and verse 23. You can look it up. So when God repeats something, when he says it once, okay, it's important. It's in his word. He said it. But when he says it again and again and he repeats himself, we've got to take notice. We've got to sit up and say, wait a minute. God is trying to get our attention here. What is he trying to say? Because it's important. He's telling Israel, be strong and courageous. Now listen, he's telling you and I today, be strong and courageous, right? You walk out there, if there's ever a time in your life, in my life, I'm 47 years old. In 47 years of my life, if there's ever a time for me to be strong and courageous, it's today, right? It's 2021. I would have said that last year during 2020, but now I'm saying it again in 2021. You've got to be strong and you've got to be courageous because people are out there and they are the opposite of strong. And let me tell you, they're the opposite of courageous. They are freaking out. People are not well emotionally. People are not well mentally. I don't have to tell you this, right? You live it. People are not well physically, and people are not well spiritually. Newsflash, right? The Lord tells us to be strong, but he doesn't even stop there. Okay, be strong and courageous, but then he says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. I won't leave you. I won't abandon you. I won't forsake you. Israel was told to be strong and courageous, and as believers in Yeshua, all of us here, all of you out there, you and I are told, even commanded, to be strong and courageous. Not just when it's fun, not just when times are good, but in 2021, be strong and courageous. Not to be strong and courageous, though, in our own power. This is very, very important because we have a lot of people trying to put a, you know, stiff upper lip and be strong and courageous out there, and they don't know what to put their trust in. We are to know that our strength, we are to know that our courage, every ounce of it that you should have, should be from knowing that God is there with you, should be from the Lord himself. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. You know, there's a lot of scriptures on this, but I think this one brief verse really captures it. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. I have tried to be strong in my own might. I know you have too. It didn't work so good for me. Probably not working. Maybe it's working okay for you, but there'll be coming a time where you will get weary and something will happen in your life. And it's at those times we need to reach out to the Holy One of Israel and know that he is the one that is with us and that is making us strong and courageous. Point number one in our message today, God gives us his presence. God goes with us. He is the source of our strength, or should be the source of your strength. He should be the source of your courage because he's with you. Because he's with you. God was with Israel back then. He was with all the characters of the Bible. He was with Gideon. Remember Gideon when he was freaking out? He didn't know what to do. God said, I'm with you. He was with Daniel when he got thrown into a lion's den. That wouldn't have been fun. But God was with him. God was his strength. God was his courage. And God shut the mouths of the lions. And guess what? He's with you today. You may not be in a lion's den, or maybe figuratively you're in a lion's den. 2,000 years ago, Messiah Yeshua came in a very physical way. He came, he had an earthly ministry, he walked along with man on the earth. And this is what John 1:14 says. Turn with me to the first book of John, the first chapter of John. I love the first chapter of John. As we know, John 1 is a parallel of Genesis 1. God comes and he does something new. He comes to be with us. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have Sukkot coming up in a couple of weeks, right? The holiday Sukkot. It's also called the Feast of Tabernacles. Why is it called the Feast of Tabernacles? Because God tabernacles or dwells with us, okay? He dwells with us. We symbolically do this by having a sukkah and coming together, but the whole essence of the holiday is God with us. Yeshua in John 1:14, the Word of God, God himself, flesh, made flesh and dwelled among us. God is with us. He doesn't just sit up there in heaven and say, figure it out yourself. He brought his only Son down here, God the Son, to walk among us, to be with us. But it's even better than that. It's not just that Yeshua walked among us 2,000 years ago. You know, we can read about it. Oh, that's great. You know, we can memorize scripture verses. It's even more personal for you and I today. Yes, Yeshua walked right next to us, the people 2,000 years ago. He was walking with the disciples. He was teaching them. He was teaching the people. He was here with us, with humanity in a very physical way. But it's even more so today because he's not only with you if you are a follower of Yeshua. Guess what? He's within you. It gets even more personal. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's go there. God is bringing all of these things even closer and closer to us. He's taking his presence and he's making it even more personal for you. Whenever people think that he is this far-off God that doesn't care, this angry God or this absent landlord God, we've got to go to scriptures like this because we need to understand. He's not only with us, going before us, but he is within us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit, his Ruach, dwells in you? This is such a powerful point, and I don't think we really get it. God's very presence is within you. God's very Shekhinah, his divine presence, is within us. If you've accepted Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, the light of the world is light inside of us. So as we go about living our lives this year, remember that. Remember that you've got the Holy One of Israel with you in a very personal sense. He's with us. Okay, back to Deuteronomy 31. Back to our text today. We'll pick up at verse 9. Then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Verse 10. And Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths. We just talked about that. Verse 11. When all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, what? You shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. We have the Bible today in a very, very convenient and personal way. You know, we have the printing press. We have ways to mass produce. So I think everybody has at least one Bible, one version at home. Maybe it's collecting a little bit of dust, but you still got it at home, right? People have Bibles. People have multiple Bibles. I was telling somebody the other day, in my office, I've got probably like 20 versions or 20 Bibles. So it's very accessible to us today. But guess what? It was accessible to Israel back then too. They were to pull out the scroll. They were to read from it. Moses is encouraging the people, God is going to be with you. But then he stresses right after that in these verses, he stresses the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God. Israel must periodically read the Torah. It was a commandment from God. The Torah, and of course more broadly the Bible for us, is the guidebook for godly living. Adonai back then wanted them to study it. And guess what? He obviously wants us to study it today. Nothing changes. He wanted us and them to study it so that they would know how to live their life, so that they would know how, what to do and what not to do. Now turn to Leviticus 18. This is really key scripture here. Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. We're going to go back to the book of Leviticus in a minute because I think this really illustrates the point of how important the Word of God is, was for Israel back then, and how important it is for you and I today. Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt, where you lived, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan, to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." So God really makes it a point here to say, you have choice here, but don't live the way, according to the belief systems of the people you were at before, Egypt. Remember, they were there for over 400 years. They picked up a few bad habits in Egypt. Don't believe what you're going to see and what you're going to hear in the land of Canaan. That was a problem for our people many times, right? Going along with the Baals and the Asherah and all that stuff. We are commanded by God back in the Torah and even today to follow the precepts and statutes and instructions and commandments of the Word of God. That is life for us, God says. We must read and we must study the Word of God. Why? So we can know how not to walk like all the people around us, and so we can know how to walk. Now turn with me to the book of Psalms. This one's easy. You can go to Psalm number 1. Very first words of the entire book of Psalms. And guess what it says? Verses 1 and 2. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." You can put in there Egyptians, Canaanites, people out in the world today. "Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Verse 2. "But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night." You and I don't have to guess how to live. We have the principles right here in the Word of God. Point number 2 in the message, God gives us his Word. He gave you his presence. He gives us his presence. And guess what? He gives us his Word too. Now, I can sit up here for however long I talk every week and I can give you rabbi's words. I have a lot of nice words to say sometimes. But as much as they're my words saying it, I hope and I pray that they're God's words, that I am just a vessel for God. I mean, I could give you my philosophy on life. I can tell you what I think about all sorts of things, right? From the weather to politics to whatever. But it doesn't mean anything because I'm a man. I'm just one person. You can take your own words, what you think, what you want to do, and what is rational, what is logical to you. Remember, everybody thinks they know everything. I can tell you something for sure that I think is true, and then it'll be refuted, and I'll be like, oh, I was so sure. I was so sure. What you think is logical and rational is not what the next person thinks is logical and rational, and maybe even true. So we have to be very careful that we don't think on what we think is the right thing, or what some preacher says, or what some rabbi says. Always bring it back to the Word of God. And the God of all creation loved you and I enough to give us his word. He gave us his truth. And I have to say his truth because the buzzword today is truth, right? You hear that word a lot. What do we hear? Well, this is my truth. You know, this is my truth. This is your truth. There is no my truth and your truth. There's my thinking about things, which are very flawed most of the time. And there's your thinking, which is flawed as well. But there is his truth. That is the only truth that's out there. You and I should not listen, as much as we like and it's fun, and you know, I'm not saying don't live in the world, but we should not listen to what celebrities tell us is truth. We shouldn't listen to what any political party tells us is truth in this country or any other country. We shouldn't even listen to well-meaning people in our lives telling us what the truth is. My goodness, there are so many wonderful, good people out there that are, they love to just talk about truth and loving other people, and that's all good, but it's not the truth. The truth is the word of God. Listen to the words of the Torah portion, back to Deuteronomy 31, verse 12. 31, 12. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, as in everybody, so that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God and be careful to do all the words of this law. The word of God is life for you and I. It should be life for you and I. It is there to teach us and instruct us. And guess what? It is there to convict us. It is there to keep us in line so we don't veer off. It provides light where there is darkness. Turn to Psalm 119, 105. Many of you, I think, have this memorized, but this is a very great, good verse talking about the word of God and light versus darkness. It is Psalm 119, 105. Your word, Bible, is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is the Bible lamp and light to you, or is something else lamp and light to you? We have to be careful what is our light. When we read the Bible, we see how the characters of the Bible lived. We see their decisions they made. We see their mistakes many times. The Bible is very clear and points out pretty much everybody except for Yeshua that had those mistakes. It talks about how they struggled with faith, what situations they found themselves in. We can learn a lot from this. I'm thankful that the Bible is full of regular people that messed up from time to time. I'm glad we don't have a propaganda book like some other religions that just talk about this wonderful God or whatever that does no wrong. Now, wonderful people that do no wrong. God does no wrong, but people do wrong all the time. You know, and all these prophets, and whether it's Joseph Smith or Muhammad or whatever you want to fill in the blank there, we need to understand that people are flawed. You and I are flawed, but God is not flawed. And it's a comfort to me to know that other flawed people in the Bible did some things for God, because that encourages me that even in my flaws, I can do some things for God, and you could do some things for God based on your and I's flaws. So we've got the Holy One of Israel's presence in us. We've got His word and His instructions about how to live. But you know what else we have? This is very important today. We have free choice, right? We have free choice. And honestly, Deuteronomy 31, go to verse 16. Honestly, if you read through the whole chapter, it gets a bit jarring about halfway through, if you really read it. Because you get all this encouragement the first part of the chapter. I'm all excited, I'm encouraged, Moses is encouraging the people, and then all of a sudden it turns a little bit to the corner. And we go from being strong and courageous and I'll be with you to, oh, you're going to mess up. Guess what's coming? Deuteronomy 31, 16, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, you're about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise and whore after foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering. And they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Ooh, that's a big turn, right? God doesn't pull any punches in His word. He tells us like it is, or like it will be, right, for Israel. He's giving them a glimpse. We can choose God. You and I have free choice to choose God and to choose His ways, or we can walk away from God. Israel chose God many times, but they also walked away from God many times. We know that. It's documented. You have chosen God many times and probably walked away from God. But the thing about it is, you and I have this empty slate in front of us. It's a new year. You've got an empty canvas. What are you going to draw? What are you going to write? How are you going to live your lives today? Moving forward, point number three in the message, you must decide how to live your life. God has given you all the tools I've got in my toolbox and your toolbox. The choice is ours, how to decide to live our life. And as I said before, nobody can make the choices for you or the decisions for you. You cannot rely on your parents. You cannot rely on your rabbi. Don't put me up on a pedestal, because I'm going to do something and upset you because I'm human. You know, I'm going to try not to. Believe me, I'm going to try not to. But you know, I try every day. You try every day. We've got to be the best people we can in the Lord, but we're not perfect. We have a choice before us. Now, I read these verses before. Let's read them again. Joshua 24, verse 15. ooh, these verses are so true today, and they were true back then. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, we always think that Israel had it made, man. They were in the land. They were in their own land, protected, you know, insulated. They could just follow the holidays. There was no, you know, interference. But you know what? They were never really in the land by themselves. They did not take all the Canaanites. In fact, God said, don't take them all out at once, didn't he? The problem was we didn't eventually take them out. And then we married their women and all this stuff. And then they led King Solomon's heart astray, the wisest man that ever lived. So we have to be very careful. It was all around them then, even though they were in the promised land, and it's all around us now. We have to know that. We have a choice to make. The gods of the people all around us, or the God, the one true God. Throughout Scripture, in various ways, God says over and over again, he says this. He doesn't directly say this, but he says this. How are you going to live your life? How are you going to walk? We make decisions whether we realize it or not. You know, not making a decision is a decision. You've heard of that, right? Not making a decision is a decision. You're making decisions every day about how to live. What you spend your time on, what priority you place the Lord in your life. Is the Lord first? Is he second? Is he third? Where is God in your priority system? What do you hold dear? You know, this is the time where it's time to get serious about our faith. If we've wandered a little bit during the year. And listen, everybody can do this. You get caught up with life. You get caught up with paying the bills, and the car breaks down again, and, you know, there's problems with the kids. I mean, it happens. You got to refocus. We've got to refocus. As we look back at the past year, and as we're honest with ourselves, have we been living for ourselves? Have you been living for someone else? Or have you been living for God? Listen, have you been living in fear? Or have you been living in faith? The times are scary, and it is crazy out there, and it is somewhat fearful. There's definite concern. But he that is in me is greater than he that is out there, right? That's John, I don't have time to turn there, but 1 John 4:4. Moses was prophetically speaking about how Israel would sin and depart from God, depart from the Lord. And in many ways, we have done that. We've certainly done it as a culture. We've certainly done it as a nation out there in many ways. But God always makes a way back to him. This is the cool part. God always makes a way back to him. He came down to dwell with man. Yeshua died for our sins and then rose to life. He did all the work for us. Guess what? We have a choice to make, to accept that work or to reject that work. To choose to live for God and to surrender us, or to choose to go on living for ourselves. Our prayer should be that we go on for God, and that we should be praying as Yom Kippur comes for our people and all people around us, that the scales would drop, that they would realize that the way they've been living is not lasting peace, but the only lasting peace is through Yeshua. And we can return to God. Last scripture, 1 John. Not the book of John, 1 John. 1 John 1:9, it's a great scripture verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For those of you that have had a hard time believing that God forgives you, it's right here. It's not from most of the unrighteousness unless you did really bad against somebody or yourself. It is all unrighteousness. He wants to take all the sins, all the unrighteousness, and make it holy. The theme today, as we're praising the Lord and as we're listening and worshiping him, has been holiness, right? Have you caught the theme? And the theme today and every day is be holy as he is holy. At this moment of the year, at this moment of your lives, we need to ask ourselves, are we living our life right? How do we live our life? The answer is with God at the center of it, very simply. Surrender to God's presence, which should be in us, can be in us. Surrender to God's will, And he's given us the understanding of his will through the Bible and making daily decisions that are going to bring us closer to God and not farther away. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we thank you and praise you because you outline it all there. Even in this one chapter, you're with us. Your presence is with us. And we know, Yeshua, you're with us even today in our darkest valleys, in the very shadow of death. You're with us. And we know, Lord God, your presence goes not before us, not behind us, both of those things, but with us too. And we know your word is with us. We don't have to guess and wonder how to live our lives. We don't have to make up other philosophies or religions that blend you with something else. We can just simply go to your word and understand and let the Ruach, the spirit of you, the Holy Spirit, guide us and direct us in all righteousness. Lord, I pray for all people here today in our community that you would encourage them, strengthen them, heal them if they're sick, Lord God, physically, but heal them if they're sick spiritually too, Lord God. Awaken hearts, drop scales, and Lord, on this Shabbat Shuvah, let us return to you with open arms and an open heart. Forgive us of our sins in Yeshua's name and deliver us from all evil, Lord God. Renew us unto righteousness in you. We thank you, God, for this opportunity even today to do that. We praise you. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together and we'll close our service today. Just remember, we